right, y'all. Good morning once again, everyone. Children, you can go down the hall if what you want to do and be with Mr. Justin. Rest of us, we're going to start in Psalm 66 this morning, but end up in 1 John together. I thought about coming up here and just slamming a pulpit one time and say, whatever Brother Scotty said just now, and then y'all say amen and we can go home. That was some good words he just said, if you ask me. I didn't do that because I wouldn't know if you're saying amen to what he said or amen because I'm not going to be talking. I didn't know which one was which, but you know. Look at Psalm 66 really quickly. Last week we talked about the power of prayer. Power of prayer. And we all established that we all want to have prayers that are powerful. Not only for selfish reasons, but because we care about our brothers and sisters in Christ and our neighbors, right? And we want to pray what God wants done in the world. We want to be in line with that. So it is in our best interest to pay attention to what the Scripture says about how to have powerful prayers. Okay, so in that same mindset, this will be kind of like part two of last week's message, because you have to look at both sides of the coin there, right? Today, we want to look at what I would kind of define as a obedience in prayer, or how obedience affects our prayer, right? And y'all are like, oh, here we go. It's always talking about obedience. Well, it's because the Bible always talks about obedience. The Bible's always telling us what to do to live the life that Jesus died for us to live, and how we can be connected to God and His Spirit and His Son, how we can live the full life in Christ, right? So here's what I want to do. I want to read Psalm 66 as just a little bit of evidence. I'm not going to read the whole thing. The first thing that has to happen for prayer to be answered is what? Well, first we have to pray, so you got me on that one. I was going to say God has to hear that prayer for Him to answer it, but I guess we have to say it first, and then He has to hear it. So those things have to happen. Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe God wouldn't hear a prayer? Is it possible, do you think, that God just wouldn't hear a prayer? And I'm going to let you know right off the bat, it's not going to be because He's not paying attention. If there's something wrong with the prayer life, it's never God's fault. I'm just going to say that as a statement of fact this morning. So that means we have to investigate if our prayer life is either not as powerful as God would want it to be, or not powerful at all, or even non-existent. Then we need to discover some things, hopefully, this morning. So the key to God hearing a prayer is that it comes from what, according to James? Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Remember that? We talked about that last week. So the prayer has to be a prayer that comes from a righteous person. And we talked about how that righteousness is not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. Those who are in Christ. Remember, we studied in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, if you remain in me, ask whatever you want in my name and it'll happen. It'll happen for you. It'll happen for the kingdom of God. Let's read what it says in Psalm 66, just in verse 16 to 20. You can read the entire psalm later if you want to. Verse 16 through 20 says, come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise to be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love for me. I start off reading this particular psalm where the psalmist is saying, pointing out to us, that if he had regarded sin in his heart as something valuable, then God would not have listened to his prayer. And he's praising God because that wasn't the case for him. Right? I'm going to let you know there's some times in our lives where we need immediate connection to God, isn't there? I would say just about every other minute of every day, if not every minute. But there's been some serious times in my life, and I'm sure there's serious times in your life when you know that God needs to hear you, otherwise you're kind of hopeless, you know? Situations are bigger than us sometimes. There's a lot of situations every day that we can handle, or at least we think we can. We know how to deal with it. But there's some things that are just way too big for us, and we can't handle them. So we better make sure that we're in right standing with the Lord, that we remain in Him, right? That we learned last week, that we remain in Him. This is why obedience to God is what opens the door for powerful prayers. We're talking about what gives us access, or at least opens the door for our prayer to become powerful. When our prayers are in His will, when we're in Christ, when we're about the Lord's business, that's what makes our prayers powerful. But the obedience in our Christian life, in the way that we live for the Lord, that's what opens the door. That's what Hebrews tells us. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Because of Christ and His shed blood, we now have access to the Father as long as we're in Christ. Way too many times, we as believers, we get into this habit of thinking, okay, I'm saved now. I'm going to be with the Lord when I leave this world. God loves me. God will never leave me. And we just go on about our life with some kind of understanding that there's no effort required whatsoever. Well, let me just say this. God has done everything He's going to do and needs to do for you to be connected to Him for eternity. Which means if there's any doing that needs to be done for us to nurture that relationship and stay connected, it's on our part, isn't it? And if we could ever understand that fully, we would dive headfirst into this Bible and stay in there every day. Because I don't want to get disconnected. I don't want to turn around one day and the whole world falls apart and I got to go talk to God about it and I got something in the way of that. Because I'm not being obedient to the way that Jesus taught us to live. The way that Jesus taught us to love others and love God. Let's go over to John. Ooh, sorry, I got behind. I apologize if my words are too small on the screen. If they are, then you'll have to look in your Bible, because that's all it is scripture up there. First John chapter 3 this morning. I'm going to go through two different parts of 1 John, and then we're going to read a proverb and another psalm. And hopefully, with the Lord's help, that'll make the point. If you're with us on Wednesday evening, we've just began studying this letter, right? And we're taking it chapter by chapter, sometimes half a chapter by half a chapter, whatever we can get through. It's very helpful to do that. So think about joining us on Wednesday nights. If for some reason you can't get here, it's on the live feed, but it's better to be here so we can have conversation if you can make it. However, we'll get into this morning's message in verse 21. Let me just read to you what it says in this part of Scripture. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. And then finally in verse 24, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. How many of y'all, while I was reading that, or while you were reading it yourself, how many of y'all kind of recognized that from last week's message in the Gospel of John? Right? Isn't it amazing how Scripture agrees with itself? All these different truths we can find are saying the same thing. If you remain in Him, if you do what He said, remember Jesus taught, if you love me, you'll do what I command. If you love me, you'll do what I command. Again, he says in this verse, 21 and 22, he says, we have confidence before God and receive him from him anything we ask. I love scripture that says we can receive anything we ask from God. Because I want our prayers to be powerful and effective. I want to be valuable in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. I want you to do the same. And I want us to make disciples the way God called us to do. And we cannot do that if we're not in his will. If we're not living the way that he called us to live. If the Spirit of God is not evident in our lives. It's verse 22 is the key, isn't it? Right after that comma in the NIV, it says, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. We can ask whatever we wish or desire because we do what he says. Because we obey. How many of y'all know when we say Jesus is Lord or he is our Lord or God is my God, how many of y'all know that that's only true if you submit to that in your life? You can say it all you want to, but the way you live in really says what's true, isn't it? When God says don't gossip, guess what? That's the easy answer. Don't gossip, right? When he says don't lie, that means don't lie. When he says don't forsake the fellowship of the believers together, that means come to church. Hello? I know y'all are saying amen because you're here. That's the hardest sermon to preach because the ones that need to hear it ain't here. Verse 24 is agreeing with what we read last week in the Gospel of John. Those who obey him live in him. And if we don't understand what it means to live in Christ, then we need to go back and do some more studying. We need to seek the Lord and his help and understanding. And it's not something that we do, it's something we surrender to. Because the Bible says, if you're saved, if you have believed that Jesus is Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior, and you repent and you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, confess him before man, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit is to lead you and guide you. The Lord is living in you through the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be in him. I'm all about the Lord's business. You're all about the Lord's business if you're in Christ. Galatians chapter 5 says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God is here. We're living with the Holy Spirit living in us. That means nothing about what I want is really valid. It's all about what God wants. It's all about what the Spirit of God leads me to do. When he leads me to care for somebody in a certain way, in a certain moment, then I should do that, shouldn't I? Because if I don't, that's disobedience. If he leads me to repent, if I'm convicted about whatever behavior, then if I don't repent, that's disobedience. If I'm in need of repentance, it's because I've disobeyed. Nobody likes to think about a relationship with God that way. Because God loves everybody, and he's such a great God, and he's all loving, and he gives us all he wants to do is bless us, and we're not really understanding that there are certain ways that he wants us to live that are in line for us to be blessed, because that means we can be in his presence. That means we can go before him and offer up any prayer that we have in our hearts if we are in obedience to the way that Jesus leads us to live. So therefore, there is something to do after salvation begins in your life. It's not just that I'm saved, put it in my back pocket, go about my life. Because if that's the case, then you are your own God and God is not your God. And we got bigger problems for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, live in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Meaning, you will have a much better opportunity to flee from sin and reject temptation, reject the idea to disobey God and do what self wants if you're living by the Spirit. I would much rather the Spirit of God tap you on the shoulder and say, no, we're not going to do that. That's not going to be obeying God. Then for the Spirit of God to have to come to you and say, well, now you've done it, and you need to get right with the Lord. He'll do both. Praise the Lord, y'all. He'll do both, right? Because I want him to give me every opportunity to be obedient to start with. That's why he's there. And that's why I need him. That's why we all need him to be in our life. So that we can recognize the opportunities to be disobedient and flee from that, make the proper decision. And when we do fail, he's there to help us return in repentance. Isn't that great? This is the God of second chances, y'all. When we do decide to disobey, the Spirit of God is there to come and help us correct that problem so that our prayer can be powerful again. Here's the way I think about that. When I go before God, in any prayer, there's something in the back of my mind, sometimes in the front of my mind. I believe the Spirit of God is doing this, saying to me, is if there's anything that needs to be cleaned up, let's do that first in my heart. And sometimes it's obvious, and the Spirit of God will come up and say, okay, let's talk about this first because you know it's wrong and God knows it's wrong. Let's just lay it on the table and get it fixed. And then we'll talk about whatever it is you're coming here for. I think that's how it works. Because here's why. You could be praying about the most important thing there is to pray about. But if you're not covered in the blood of Christ and you're not repentant of your sins and you're not having this relationship with God as if he is God, how can he ever listen to anything you say until you deal with that problem? Our relationships aren't any different with our parents and our children. I don't know how many times my son would come to me about something and I already knew that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. So we're not talking about that until we talk about why you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You want to go hang out with your friends? I would love for you to go hang out with your friends, but let's talk about this. They don't want to talk about that. I didn't. You think I'm going to go to my parents as a child and say, hey, let's talk about all the bad things I did? No. There's things that happened in my childhood that my family still don't know about. We're going to keep it that way. Sometimes we get away with things. But it's different with God because we don't get away with anything with God, do we? You can pretend all you want to that there's not a problem in your life. And you go before God and you sit here and just get frustrated because he's not hearing you. It's not because he doesn't want to hear you. It's because he can't hear you because you are in sin. You're disobedient. And we have to think about what that means and what that says about Jesus' work on the cross when we do those things. When we go before God and we know we're in sin, we know we're guilty of something and we're unrepentant, we're just not ready to let go of that just yet. And we think we can play games and go before God because everything else in our life, in our Christian life, is right. We go to church, we worship, we pray, we serve, we do all the right things, but there's just these things over here that God is waiting for us to clean up. Or at least waiting for us to have him help us clean it up. Because if you're like me, I need help. You know what I'm saying? If I could clean it up myself, then maybe I would do it. Too many times I spend hours and hours in prayer over certain things and I don't feel like I'm getting my prayers heard. You been there? I don't feel like the Lord's answering. I don't think he's hearing. Is there something wrong? Maybe there is. Sometimes we have to go back and say to the Lord, show me my heart. Show me the darkest places of my heart. Is there something that's getting in the way of me communicating with you? Maybe we need to change the focus. Not because God is some mean, ugly, want to come down on you because you did something wrong, God. It's because he knows that that sin is going to destroy you if you don't let him get it out of there. I don't know how many times I've cut my arms open or my legs. As a young boy, we just did crazy stuff. We bleed just about every day when we were kids. Some of it was just like scrapes and whatever, and some of it was like literally running blood off of our body somewhere because we're out there playing around. And some adult, usually an older lady adult, trying to care for us, would come over that peroxide stuff, start pouring that stuff or whatever. Is that peroxide? What is it? What's it called? Methyl. I don't even know what it's called. All I know is it turned my arm orange and it stung really bad. It hurt worse than whatever happened to it every time. And then they start blowing on it and it made it feel better for a quick second. But then they stopped blowing and it started burning again. but it really kept it from getting infected. If it wasn't for that stuff, I'd probably be like a big old ball of infection over the years. Right? Who knows what would happen to me? That's all God's trying to do, y'all. That's all God wants. God wants you to come to Him. He wants to hear your prayers. He wants your prayers to be powerful. He wants you to be effective in His kingdom. He wants you to go out into the world and show people how you have this awesome relationship with Him through the blood of Christ, and that your communication with Him. He wants people in this world to look at you the way that the disciples did at Jesus and said, hey, we want to talk to God like you do. He wants people to say that about you. He wants people to say, how do you talk to God? How do you have such a powerful prayer life? And it's because we clear the table every time we go to Him. Hopefully it's because we were developing habits of not being disobedient over our spiritual journey, right? It doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want in disobedience to God and then every time we kneel on our knees, confess, and everything will be fine. That's not what He's saying. Those who are about the Lord's business have powerful prayers. And those whose lives are all about the Lord's business have powerful prayers. And you can't be about the Lord's business if you're living a disobedient life. That's why He says in that verse in chapter 3 of 1 John, says, if our hearts do not condemn us. If you're not convicted, then you can ask whatever. You know, if you go before the Lord and there's no conviction, then He's all ears. He's there for you. He's there for us. And here's the thing about God, y'all. You ever thought about this? There's no waiting line to talk to God. There's no take a number and I'll get with you in a minute. God can hear all our prayers at the same time. You know how many people have told me, so I don't know if God's got time to listen to me. I'm like, well, He's got all the time in the world to listen to you. Because He is time. Go to chapter 5 real quick of 1 John. We'll add some more truth to our discussion this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 John, just the next page over, hopefully. If it's not the next page over, then you're reading the wrong Bible. Let me help you out. There we go. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. We can all say amen to that. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out His commands. In other words, by doing what He says to do. This is why I'm telling people that if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to be saved, you cannot be the church by yourself. It's not possible to do what Jesus calls us to do and commands us to do by ourselves. You have to be connected to the body of Christ. Verse 3 says, this is love for God. This is what it is. To obey His commands. Sometimes the period on your page is the biggest thing to look at. It didn't say to obey His commands if you felt like it, or if you have time, or if it was your favorite thing to do. Love for God is obedience, y'all. And when we're disobedient and then we try to go into His presence with all of our prayers, what I'm reading is saying you're trying to go before God without loving Him. It's like walking into the presence of our Creator saying, I don't love you, but can you handle this? Hello? And I know that we don't mean that. We don't mean to be that way. But it doesn't change the fact that we are sometimes. Verse 4 says, for everyone born of God, look, overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Evidence of faith is obedience, y'all. That's why we preach what we preach about salvation. That's why we preach that believing that Jesus is the Christ and accepting Him as Lord and accepting Him as Savior and repenting of your sin and confessing that He's in Christ before man and then being baptized, immersed in, as a believer, all is one action. You don't have to understand why God laid it out that way. You just have to obey what He said to do. And why? How do we know that? Well, the first sermon that Peter preached with the help of the Holy Spirit said, the people said, what do we do to fix the problem? And they said, and that's what He said to do. Okay, let's do that. That's evidence of your faith, y'all. Evidence of your love, evidence of love is obedience. This is when I wish the children were in the room. Right? Because somewhere in the scripture it tells us to obey our parents, doesn't it? If you love your parents, you'll submit to their obedience, authority in your life. And I was totally guilty of that when I was a kid. I was so rebellious, it wasn't even funny. I walked around as a little kid talking about nobody tells me what, I don't even tell myself what to do. That's how rebellious I was. Isn't that sad? Prayers of the righteous are what overcome the world, y'all. What does it mean to overcome the world? Raise your hand if you want to overcome the world. Some of y'all are like, I don't know if I want to raise your hand. It's like a trick question here. Sounds like a trick question. What does it mean to overcome the world? Because Jesus teaches us to be in the world, but not of the world. And if we're overcoming the world, then we're overcoming what is the obstacle between us and God. Yeah? Because there's a lot about this world that is really challenging for the believer. And if we're paying attention, it's going to get worse. The longer we live in this world, the longer this world exists, it's just going to continue to get worse. Why? Because it's contaminated by sin. Since Adam and Eve decided to be disobedient. And it's been in decay ever since. That's why we need off of this thing. We need off of this thing and for eternity be in a place where there is no decay, which is the presence of God. And you can't be in the presence of holiness if you're living in sin. Obedience is the key to living in holiness through the blood of Christ. So then it would make sense that we cannot go before our Holy Father when we're living in disobedience, can we? I mean, we can try. And we can get so far as to deal with that disobedience, right? Repentance is one of the most powerful words in the Bible. Right? It's almost like God, I don't see God as like standing there all mad because you're in sin. Just tapping his toe. Right? Like, you got something to tell me? That's the way I would do with my kid. You got something to tell me, son? Right? He knew it was all over then. He might as well just go ahead and fess up. I don't see God that way. I see God as like waiting and waiting for us, like the prodigal son's father, just standing on the porch looking. Is he ever going to come back? And just talk about what we already all know about. We're only fooling ourselves if we don't. Go to the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. You might as well go ahead and say the details of what's going on in your heart because He already knows. And you'll be surprised. If you're not doing that on a regular basis, you will be surprised how much freedom you can feel when you do that. When you go to God and call out your sin and admit to Him that you know what He already knows. And then after that moment, He forgives that sin. It's like it never happened. And then we can talk about the mission for the church. Then we can talk about the people we're trying to get to know the Lord. Then we can talk about the people in our hospitals that are sick and ask for the Lord's intervention in that. But it doesn't matter until we get rid of the sin, until we get rid of what's in the way. Right? It's His command. Believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you believe in the name of His Son, which we read in chapter 3, then you will obey Him. The command is to love God and love people, isn't it? Now how much, like, I might say to myself, I love y'all, and I love y'all enough to go to God for you. And I'm saying that to y'all as truth. But if I got sin that's I'm not willing to get rid of, and it's standing between me and my conversations with God, how much does that mean? How much do I really love you guys if I'm not willing to get rid of that? How much do I really love you guys if I'm standing up here as your preacher and just not willing to give up sin so that I can be powerful for you guys with God? See what I'm saying? It's the same thing with Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, and He made such a great sacrifice, which Scott explained to us this earlier in this service in a good way to help us understand again. And how much do we have to not love somebody, as our last revival preacher says, to not tell them, to tell people about Jesus? Right? How much do you have to hate somebody, is the way he said it. He said, how much do you have to hate somebody not to tell them about Jesus? Let me give you some more evidence, and then I'll finish. Just some more things to think about to help us realize the value and the importance of our acts of repentance and being honest with God and ourselves. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. I'm just going to read through that a little bit. And then I'm going to read Psalm 34. This is, if you ever get in the habit of reading Proverbs every day, it's probably one of the wisest things you can do. Verse 20 of chapter 1 in Proverbs says, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelms you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. Hello? They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety, hello, and be at ease without fear of harm. That is a description of what it means to be an enemy of God. Okay? And if He's our Lord, then we are submissive to His authority. We don't question why He tells us to do or not to do something. We just obey. Not because we're commanded so much, because we desire to do the will of God. And the will of God for all of us is to be in His Son, in Christ, and have His Spirit living in our lives. And that can only happen if we fall in line with the ways of Jesus' teaching. All right, let's look at Psalm 34 really quickly. This is another one you can read and study the whole thing at a later date. It says, verse 15 in Psalm 34, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. That agrees with what we've been studying. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. when God says do or don't do, it's not just because he wants to spoil our fun or don't want us to be blessed. That was the lie that Adam and Eve accepted. Right? Remember, Satan come up and he said, well, did God really say? Surely he meant this. Or surely he didn't want you to be like him. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's why the prayer of the righteous man is so powerful. The prayer of one who stands in the righteousness of Christ is powerful. The one who willingly surrenders, willingly is obedient, willingly calls Jesus Lord and Savior. Not just with words, but with the way that we live. The way that we allow the Spirit of God to be active in our life. And if the more we live in the Spirit of God, the more obedient we become, and the more things that God does in our life that amaze us. I don't know how many times I've heard people, and I've been one of them, come to me and say, I can't believe I just did that. And what they're talking about is they went on a mission trip. Or they got involved with some mission ministry or something that was something they would never do in their whole life. They find themselves in places like at a homeless ministry, hugging homeless people that haven't taken a bath for 2 years. Normally, they would never say nothing to them. They would never walk up to them. But because the Spirit of God is alive in their life, they get involved. And they do stuff. They say things to people. I've had somebody come up to me and say, I've never hugged anybody that I didn't know in my life. But there was a lady sitting at the hospital crying. I didn't know. I just walked up and gave her a hug. Because they're being obedient to the Spirit that lives in their heart. And if you notice, it affects them more than it affects the person that they're trying to bless. I don't know how many times we've been on a mission trip. We're taking kids on mission trips. We're taking adults on mission trips. Almost every time we come back, everybody's like, wow, the Lord showed me a lot of stuff, and he really did a blessing, and he changed my life, and I didn't realize this and that. And you think you're going there to help somebody else, and God's doing something in your heart. All because you were obedient to get involved. Sometimes it's like, I started reading the Bible for the first time. I didn't know there was all that stuff in there. You want wisdom? Go to God. That's what the Bible says. If you love God, you'll worship God. Right? If you love him, you will worship him. You will serve him. And he will be your Lord. And if there's anything interfering with that, you need to get it fixed so that your prayers can be effective and powerful. Not just for you, but because you're playing a part in the body of Christ. And your prayers might mean the difference in somebody else's soul being saved. Might mean the difference in somebody else's sickness being healed. Might mean the difference in somebody else's trouble and stress to be relieved. Make sense? That's what we're dealing with here. It's not just about me and my desire. You know, I keep telling y'all that I pray for a helicopter and I don't get it. The Lord don't care about no helicopter for me. I know that. What he does care about is, am I in tune with what he is doing? Are you in tune with what he's doing? Or is it just about going to church and getting through the week and that's it? It's hard, isn't it? That's why we need the Lord, y'all. I need him every day. I need to be connected with him every day. I need to talk to him every day. I need to hear him every day. I pray that none of y'all have sin that's not repentant already. I pray that y'all have got the table cleaned off. That's what I pray. And I pray that it stays that way every day so that your prayers can be powerful. I love you and the Lord loves you. If you have a decision to make to be saved today, today's the day to do it. There's no other reason to wait. That's the first thing you need to do to get your connection right is to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. After that, if you got any prayer requests or anything you need me to do for you and pray for you or the leadership, we can do that too. If you're going to do anything else, now's the time to come up. Let's stand together and sing. If you got any, let's sing like somebody died for us, and we'll praise the Lord and give God the glory. Y'all ready? Let's stand together.